You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line from the West African nation of Ghana is the traditional war commander of the Ga tribe of Accra, Nii Gwate Atuasa II. King, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Dave. How are you?
Thank you, King. Now, King, there's a lot to talk about today, but for the benefit of the listeners, let's just give them a little bit of background about the nation of Ghana, its history, and your place in it.
Thank you very much, Dave, and thanks to all your listeners. This evening in Ghana, I know it's an afternoon in the United States. Ghana, as you know, was formerly the Gold Coast during the colonial era, an area known to have gold and other precious minerals. That brought the Europeans to the Gold Coast. The Kingdom of Portugal were here, Kingdom of Spain, France, then the British, the Dutch, and the Danes all traded along the Gold Coast, and that became also known as the transatlantic slave trade. There was the trade in these precious minerals, later turned into the trade in human cargo, leading to the transatlantic slave trade. And in Ghana today, as Gold Coast, now Ghana, there are still slave castles on the Gold Coast and the Fanti Coast, near Cape Coast, Elmina, and other places along the coast of Ghana. That's one of the most tragic history of our times as a people and as a country. And Ghana gained its independence in the 5th of March 1957 and was led by Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, who was then the Prime Minister, and fought for our independence. Today, Ghana is living in a transitional constitutional democracy. And as you know, on Friday, December 7th, Ghanaians will be going to the polls to elect president and parliamentary officials who will be leading the country for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, for the benefit of the listeners, King, give them some background about how you fit into Ghana, what your position there, and a little bit of the history of it.
Thank you very much, Dave. I'm presently the traditional field marshal of the Ga tribe. And the Ga tribe, as you know, we are the traditional landlords of Ghana's capital of Accra. Accra is the capital of the Ga tribe before it became the capital of Ghana. And the Ga tribe were the first to trade with the Portuguese, dealt with the Europeans in the trade in gold. The Ga tribe has played a very, very strategic role in the history of our country, Ghana. My forefathers were warrior kings. They went to many wars, not wars of occupation, but wars to defend other smaller kingdoms in the former Gold Coast. One of the major wars fought in Western Africa was fought between the Ga tribe and Ashanti tribe, which took place on 7th August 1826, known as the Battle of Katamansu, or the Great Battle of Dodowa. The Ghans won that war, and the Ashanti tribe has always, in their history, they have been openly admitted to selling slaves in exchange for ammunition. And the Battle of 1826 was a battle almost known as the greatest set-piece battle ever fought in Western African history. And after the victory of the Ghans, most of the slave routes were sealed to European ships along the coast, and it was a major feat. Then my great-great-grandfather, Nii Gwate Kodjo, was then the Supreme Commander and Field Marshal of Ga forces in that historic battle. He declared victory for the Ga tribe on Monday, August 8, 1826. And this was because the Ashantis had invaded the Fantis in Cape Coast, and the Fantis have some alliance and a blood connection with the Ga tribe. So my great-great-grandfather intervened militarily by sending warriors to root out the Ashanti army in Cape Coast. At that time, the Ashantis had killed then British governor by name Sir Charles McCarthy. And that intervention angered the Ashantis and blamed the Ga tribe for intervening militarily on behalf of the Fantis. And that's where the Ashantis declared an all-out war in 1826. And they invaded the territory of the Ga tribe with a 40,000 army, a full invasion, but it was repulsed, defeated. And that was a battle that we all know was one of the great battles fought in West African history. And apparently, changed the historic landmark and the history of the Gold Coast in Ghana. Perhaps it reshaped our history that we have today. And the Gara tribe are also an ancient race known to have been connected to the old Egyptian dynasties and have traded with the Phoenicians. The Gara tribe traded with the Greeks, the Persians. It's an old kingdom who are presently the landlords of the country Ghana, the capital, as we know as Ghana. So there is a very rich history of the old Ghana kingdom. Apparently, this old kingdom was known to have formed the old ancient Abyssinian Empire of Ethiopia. The same kingdom formed the old Ghana Empire, and they later formed the Benin Empire. So the Ghana tribe has played a very critical role in the history of Ghana and the Gold Coast. And to add on to the history, my grandfather, who was then Field Marshal of Accra, was in power when Dr. Kwame Nkrumah was imprisoned by the British as we campaigned to gain our independence from colonial rule. And Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, while he was in prison, stood to represent Ghana Central in Parliament. And even though he was in prison, my grandfather and the rest of the Ghana leaders in Accra were able to rally the people to vote for him while he was in prison. That act, that courageous act, left the British with no viable alternative but to release Dr. Nkrumah. And his release was what placed Ghana in history as the first country in sub-Saharan West Africa to declare independence from colonial rule. So the Ghana tribe, as you know, here in Accra today, the office of the president is on Ghana soil. The Parliament House is on Ghana soil, military headquarters. We have an international airport, international harbor of government. We have foreign missions, international business, banks. Everything that is needed to power a democratic country is based on Ghana soil. So the Ghana people in the history of Ghana have played an important role in the past and are still playing the most important role. As the smallest region in Ghana, we have 10 regions, and the Greater Accra region, also the Gadangbe region, is the smallest region. But this region has been able to accommodate every tribe all over the country, people coming from outside Ghana, foreigners who are here to do business from other parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Middle East, are all living in Accra. So my tribe, the Ghana tribe, and its capital, Accra, is still playing a very, very prominent role for Ghana.
Fascinating history. Land has been a big part of the Ghana history. And I read a breaking news release recently, King, that you have brought up charges against the government of Ghana at the International Center for Transitional Justice in New York over land or abuse of land rights. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct, Dave. As you know, every institution is built off the land. And as I explained just not too long ago, the contributions of the Ghana tribe towards the government of Ghana has been enormous. So many lands were given out to the government of Ghana to build institutions to be able to support the country. Lands were given out to the military headquarters in Accra. Lands were given to build as Kotoka International Airport. Lands were given to build the ministries of government to oversee the different sectors of the ministries. Example, the ministries of roads and highways, Ministry of Interior, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Agriculture. Every ministry that would be needed to govern the country, lands were given to them to undertake their duties. Lands were given to build government bungalows so that civil servants and government officials will have a place to live while working for the state. Lands were given out for development in areas of building schools, clinics, hospitals, recreational centers, vocational training institutes, and so many other things that we need as a country. But in our constitution, lands which were already given to the colonial British government back in the 40s and the 50s, some even expired as far back as 1958, just a year after Ghana declared independence. But as a country, we all have to support each other to further the agenda of being an independent nation. The Ghana tribe made a tragic mistake. If they came out to demand lands to be returned to them in 1958, after helping Ghana declare independence a year before. So we kind of turned a blind eye to land so that government will be able to use lands to develop Ghana as a newly independent nation. We now live in a constitutional democracy. And like the Constitution of America, no one is above the Constitution. Here in Ghana, it's the same. The president of Ghana is not above the Constitution of Ghana. I am not above the Constitution of Ghana. And all of us to live in peace and for us not to go back to the feudal system of tribal warfare, wrote a constitution which governs the country. And the constitution is written so that we live in an environment where we can treat each other on a fair playing field, that every tribe in Ghana has its own right, and its right must be protected by the constitution. In our constitution, it clearly states that the Ga tribe, landlords of Ghana's capital, were the ones who gave lands out to government. If the Ga tribe gives land to the state as the government of Ghana to use the land for a particular purpose, after some years, the purpose which the land was given was not to be able to be met, or perhaps the project to be undertaken didn't take place, the state must revert the land to the original owners as the Ga and Dagwe people, as the first option. That is stated in the 1992 constitution, which governs Ghana today. Also, in our constitution is Article 20, Clause 5, which states what I just said, that when a land is given out for a purpose, and for which purpose or for a particular reason the state did not use the land, the first option is to return it to the original owners. But in a way, lands that were given government to be used for state purposes are now being sold. Lands given to the state has already expired. It has not been returned to the Ghana tribe, and the politicians who are voted into power to protect the constitution of Ghana have rather subverted the constitution against the very people who even gave them the land and are selling the land to themselves, flaunting what is stated in our constitution, and politicians in government who should know better that as government expands, government will need land to build for civil servants and officials working for the government of Ghana. The previous administration under our former president, John Ajaikum Kufuor, so much lands looted by his officials. So in the 2008 elections, the Ghana tribe rose up against the administration of President Kufuor. The opposition then, the National Democratic Congress, who are in power today, seized on the opportunity to say to us as a Ghana tribe that, look, when we come to power, we will give the lands back to you as stated in the constitution. So then the New Patriotic Party government accused the opposition of playing tribal politics, and that they, the National Democratic Congress, were inciting the Ghana tribe against them. But I'll tell you something honestly. The Ghana and Dagwe land issue in the 2008 elections is what pushed the New Patriotic Party out of government, bringing the National Democratic Congress in power. But since the National Democratic Congress came to power, their pledge, their promise, they even put it in their manifesto in 2008 that they will return the land stolen by the other government officials. But as I speak to you today, December 4th, Friday is general elections. The National Democratic Congress, the NDC, have never fulfilled their promise to return the lands back to the Ghana tribe, as stated in the Constitution of Ghana. To us today, as the Ghana or the Ghana tribe, and in my position as a traditional warlord of the Ghana tribe, I believe that if cool heads doesn't prevail, this land issue can lead to something else. Because anytime this issue is brought up in the country, it brings tension. The tension it brings is that everybody knows that what has been done is wrong, or what has taken place goes against the constitution of Ghana, which gives us the right to take action. But as a people, we have to look around us and see what has taken place in other countries. A country like our neighbor Ivory Coast, one of the most beautiful countries in West Africa. Politics, tribal politics, so many things, ethnic divisions, plunged the country into war. Ivory Coast have fought 3 wars. Sierra Leone fought a civil war, very bloody one. We know of the child soldiers. We know of Liberia, child soldiers, killings, refugees fleeing, refugees in Liberia even fled to Ghana. We know of sectarian violence in Nigeria today as we talk. We know of Mali. We had elections in Togo. There were violence. Ghana, as a bastion of peace and as a leader in ECOWAS community and also its leadership role in the African Union, have to perhaps keep the peace that it enjoys today, because our surroundings have experienced so much warfare. This was a lesson to us Ghanaians not to go down that road. But guess what? Every war taking place today in the world has to do with land or minerals or resources in the land. The Ghana land issue is a very dangerous issue, and some of us are very loyal to our country, but they are hardliners who like us to take action. Why? Because they believe that even if we take action, we'll be on the right side of the constitution, because the action we'll take will be that we are even protecting the constitution of Ghana. So personally, this is phase one, and the phase one is to send a letter of introduction specifying this human rights abuses that has been meted out to the Ghana tribe, and that was forwarded to the president, David Talbot, in New York, and Suleiman Baldo, who is also the director of the African program. And this organization is the International Center for Transitional Justice. Their purpose is to assist in helping people who are facing human rights abuses. Example, what the Ghana tribe is going through today. Well, it's very sad, Dave, and to all your listeners, to understand that the land called Accra is a bona fide personal property of the Ghana people. My forefathers were supreme commanders of this land. We welcomed the Europeans. We welcomed Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. We propped him up for him to come prime minister and president. We brought in everybody. Rawlings, the former president, enjoyed so much support from the Ghana people. In the year 2000, under the candidature of President Kufuor, the Ghana people gave him support for him to be able to win the presidency after 19 years of the Provisional National Defense Council, the PNDC, and then later the NDC, under Flight Lieutenant Jerry John Rawlings. So it is very awkward and very sad and very painful, Dave, that the very people who gave you the land to promote democracy for Ghana, what has been stated in the constitution, you officials of government, who should know better, who should abide by the constitution, and who should uphold the constitution, turn around to subvert the constitution against the very people who gave you the land to build your government in the first place.
Right.
Every conflict taking place in Africa has its root causes. People don't just get up and start fighting. Tribes don't just get up and start fighting. There is a root cause in Ghana today. If someday anything will befall us, this Ghana land issue is an issue that must be resolved. It's a security threat to our country, especially when the constitution, the supreme law of the land, have stated that I have given you land up to these years, return it to me. When the time came and the expiration came for you to return the land, you turned around and sold the land to yourself.
How much land are we talking about here, King?
Hundreds of acres of land, the prime areas of the capital of Ghana.
How long has this issue been a concern to you and those in your kingdom?
The Ghana tribe started voicing out against the looting of its land, starting as far back early 1992-93, throughout 94. Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, who was our first president, also used LI, which is a legislative instrument, to acquire lands from the Ghana people. Some was land that he took, was what he used to build the Tema Harbor, which is an international harbor. He took the area for the international airport, which is the Kotoka International Airport. He took lands to build factories, manufacturing plants all over the capital. At least we needed that as a country, as a newly independent country, to be able to practice domestication, be able to produce our own cloth, progress in areas of agriculture, produce essential goods for our own consumption. And if we have surplus, we export. So it was no crime for us to give land to Dr. Kwame Nkrumah to build institutions, manufacturing plants, corporations, industries, factories, and other things. But as I talked to you today, most of all the factories are being sold. And this that is going on, it's what has prompted me to bring this issue to the International Center for Transitional Justice in New York. And I'll be making a trip to New York to meet face-to-face with the leaders of the International Center for Transitional Justice to seek advice to be able to play this diplomatically. That's phase one. Phase two will follow. But I don't think people will like the phase two. But it is sad that politicians use this issue to play politics.
Right.
You come to power as government, and then you come and you loot and take lands that belong to the state and to the tribe of the Gan against what is stated in the constitution, which is our supreme law. And you expect there will be peace? Yes, there will be peace. But then anything can happen if the problem is not being solved. The people may rise up, and when they rise up, then we have an issue on our hands.
How could they rise up against the government? The government, I'm sure, has modern, sophisticated weaponry, don't they?
Well, Dave, you should know that we live in Africa, and I'll tell you that Ghana as a country, yes, they say we are peaceful people, but if you go back in history, the Ghana tribe has fought a lot of wars and other tribes. And politics and politicians can do things that can plunge us back into that situation. And as the Ghana people, the issue is that nobody wishes to engage in anything that will bring violence or anything that will bring chaos to our country, because they have been enjoying some enormous peace. But like I'm telling you, nothing is invulnerable. If the Ghana people one day rise up that they want their lands back, what will you do? Are you going to deploy the Ghana armed forces to come and kill us on our own land? Well, you have to remember that we have Ghana people who are also in the Ghana armed forces. So then the whole issue becomes tribal. And when it becomes tribal, then explosion. It has happened in so many places. We are not vulnerable to violence. We are not vulnerable to civil war or tribal war. But we have to do what is right. We have to do what is right. We have to abide by our laws. The law must work. We have come so far. What have been done to my tribe? And honestly, I'll tell you, Dave, personally, and put this on record. In this land issue, what has been done to us? If this was done to another tribe, Dave, it is wrong. Because if in our constitution, it states clearly that do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. That's what we should know. So if my territory belongs to the Ewe tribe of Ghana, or the Fanti tribe of Ghana, or the Akin tribe, or the Ashanti tribe of Ghana, and Accra is their land, and governments come to power to take lands which is supposed to be returned to them, Dave, that is wrong. So it's not because I'm a Ghana, and I'm speaking against this injustice. And if this injustice is meted out against another tribe, it is still wrong, because it goes against what is written in our constitution. This matter borders on our constitution. And in most African countries, war breaks out when the constitution is subverted or when the constitution breaks down. We have to be very careful as a people.
Have they responded to your concerns, to your letter?
It is up to us, the Ghana tribe, to take the necessary action to be able to bring the government of Ghana to its knees. This is not a fight that will be fought for a long time.
For the benefit of the listeners who are not too familiar with your country, the population is about 25 million, and it's a parliamentary democracy, as you mentioned, and the legal system is based on British common law. And of course, you have, as we mentioned earlier, a military and foreign relations with many other countries around the world. And something I didn't know, that the Ghana Stock Exchange is the third largest stock exchange in Africa after the Johannesburg Stock Exchange and the Nigerian Stock Exchange. So Ghana is not some little dinky third world country. Here we have a country that is about to experience some elections in a couple of days, and this could set the stage for something very serious. And what you were alluding to before was that if in fact an agreement is not reached to respect the constitution, that there could possibly be some bloodshed.
Ghana as a country has enormous wealth. We have gold, we have timber, we have bauxite, manganese, diamond, pepper, sugar, we have discovered oil, but yet people are living less than $1 a day. Children are hungry in Ghana and parts of the country. We have problem with our water system. We have problem with the energy system, electricity. We have problem with our roads, sanitation, even in the capital of Accra. So there are so many issues that we as a country must tackle. We have issues that we have to solve. We have issues that our political leadership must be able to use the revenue of the country to change the lives of the Ghanaian or Ghanaians. We have so many challenges as a country that we have to resolve. We don't need any violence or war, any civil war or any political violence that will lead to something else. We have so much on our hands. So on December 7th, as I speak to you personally, Dave, and to all Ghanaians outside this country, you should pray for our country. We are here also praying, but also watching the politicians and their supporters, their followers very, very closely. And to the Ghana Dangbe people, my tribesmen, who are split on political lines, some supporting the New Patriotic Party, the NPP, some supporting the National Democratic Congress, the NDC, some supporting a PPP party and other parties. Well, it is your right to join any political party. It is your right to vote for a party of your choice. It is your right to elect your own leaders who will come into power with an ideology that will be beneficial to you as a Ghanaian. But different opinions shouldn't bring conflict. So to the Ghana Dangbe people here in Ghana outside, and here in Ghana, those who will be voting on Friday, history will judge you if you are used by any political party to start any violence in Accra. We will not tolerate that. We will not allow that to happen. But there are certain things that can happen which may get out of hand and circumstances out of our control. But advice to my tribesmen in the capital of Accra is to that exercise your right to vote. Go vote. After you finish voting, go home. It is the duty of the Electoral Commission of Ghana to count the results, tally the results, and declare the results for our country, Ghana, of who has won in the presidential or parliamentary elections. And to the other tribes who are living in Accra, we as a tribe has welcomed every tribe in every corner of Ghana to the capital. Some people are working, some people have given birth here, some people who were given birth here in Accra has even not gone back to where their forefathers or their fathers came from. They have become people known to live in Accra. This election is coming up. It's crucial. As I said, we have a lot of challenges that we have to solve. And to the other tribes in Accra, it is your duty to understand that Accra is a property of the Ghana Dangbe people. We have been able to live and coexist with everybody in the capital. We have inter-tribal marriages with other tribes here in Ghana. And we expect you, those tribes, to behave and make sure that nobody is going to coerce you to start acts of violence which will go against the long-standing peaceful nature of this country. And to the traditional kings of Ghana, to the other tribal kings, speak out. Tell your people to behave professionally. Go vote. It is their right to vote and go home. And for you also to tell your tribesmen in Ghana not to be used by any politician or politicians to start any act of violence in this general election. This is my call to my people, the Ghana people, and to the rest of the tribes in Ghana. I wish the politicians very well. I wish the president, who is standing on the ticket of the NDC, wish him well and his followers. I also wish the opposition leader and his followers well on Friday, and that they should also know that the world is watching them. And they also know the challenges we face as a country. It is their duty to make sure that we emerge peacefully in these elections. And my message also to the Electoral Commission, that they should conduct themselves professionally, and the election should be free, fair, and transparent, devoid of fraud, intimidation, and destruction to property and lives of any Ghanaian. Because one life of a Ghanaian is important. We need that Ghanaian to help build Ghana. So nobody have to lose a life voting for a political leader to rule this country. And to all Ghanaians, and to the politicians, and to everybody, my quote to you is that peace is possible if we remain committed to the truth. I repeat, peace is possible if we remain committed to the truth. Thank you very much.
The traditional war commander of the Ga tribe of Accra, Ni'i Gwate Atuata II. I want to thank you so much, sir, for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. You're a fascinating man, and I appreciate your time and looking forward to talking to you after your country has had a say in your elections coming up on December 7th.
Well, Dave, I'll also like to say something very briefly.
Please.
On my peace-promoting mission to America in calling for a free, fair, transparent elections was supported by Mayor Sal Pinto Jr. of Eastern Pennsylvania, the city of Easton, gave its full backing to Ghana to conduct himself professionally in this upcoming elections. My heart goes out to Mayor Salpinto and his family, to the residents of Eastern Pennsylvania, all who contributed to supporting me in calling for a free and fair elections for my country. I very, very much appreciate that. Also, my appreciation goes to Mayor Green, Sandy Green of Kutztown, Pennsylvania, for her support in calling for a free and fair elections in Ghana. My support also goes to Mayor Ed Palowski of Allentown, Pennsylvania, who also joined in giving Ghana its support of the city of Atlanta, its residents, the office of the mayor, in also joining in calling for peaceful elections in our country. And also to the city of Philadelphia, to Mayor Michael Nather, and also the chairman of the Mayor's Council on African and Caribbean Affairs, Stanley Strader, council members of Philadelphia, Michael Griffin, who is also the Consul General of Philadelphia, and other people who also supported us from Philadelphia, join us calling for a free, fair, and transparent elections. I appreciate that the country Ghana knows that they are being watched. And my heart and my appreciation and gratitude goes out to you all who supported me in my peace promoting mission to the U.S. recently. The theme was all for a free and fair elections in Ghana. Thank you very much, Mayor Salpinto Jr. and the people of Eastern. Thank you very much.